Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, let's see. What are we going to talk about today on Montana Talks? Let's see. There's a basket weaving competition going on. Is that out in Loma? Where's that taking place at? We've got, gardening. Let's do some gardening tips and best practices. That's what we're going to talk about today. John Jackson, the Joker from X, in the house on a Monday instead of a Tuesday. You know, after the show on Friday, John, I usually cut a promo that I'll send out to our radio stations. Hey, here's what's coming up on Monday's Montana Talks. And many of you heard the promo, and I say, here's what's coming up on Monday's Montana Talks. We aren't lining anything up. We aren't scheduling anything because we don't know what might happen over the weekend. And boom, my goodness, huh?
Yeah, it's like it always comes back to the Nazi from Raiders of the Lost Ark, where he sat down and said, what shall we talk about? Because there's only one thing to talk about right now. Amazing. And if you watch, too, what Trump did was, now I know this is going to throw you for a loop, Aaron, because I know you are not a Star Trek guy.
Yeah.
But this is right.
That's
out
all right.
Of,
hit us with it, nerd. Hit us with it, nerd.
This is right out of Star Trek: Wrath of Khan. Remember, Trump said 2 weeks, and what was it? 2 days. He coded that thing, baby.
Was that a Star Trek episode?
Yeah, they did that. And one time they had the enemy monitoring their conversations on the radio.
Oh, okay.
So they said days instead of hours. They were using that code.
See, while you nerds were thinking of Star Trek, the cool kids were thinking of Top Gun 2 and saying this was like something straight out of Top Gun 2, what just happened over the weekend, but with bomber pilots instead of fighter pilots.
The operation was, but the way they code that, the way Trump said 2 weeks and it was 2 days.
See, I mean, there's something for everybody. The nerds, the cool kids, everybody wins, right? Except for the terrorists in Tehran. Right?
See, one day, man, one day, I'm going to get you cultured. One of these days, like next time we go to Vegas, we're going to sit down and we're going to do just a Star Trek marathon.
I don't think that kind of culture will be allowed.
I'm going to hold you like with your eyelids open, like from Clockwork Orange, and make you watch at least a season of Star Trek.
Oh, man. I know Tim and Savage. He's probably going to resign his position as Mondakistan bureau chief since I'm talking so much trash about Star Trek right now, you know.
I mean, without a doubt, the greatest TV show of all time.
If you were a little kid in the 1980s and needed to take a nap, maybe. My goodness.
I mean, spawned multi-billion dollar industry. Everything you see today that's science fiction, including Star Wars, all of it are the sons and daughters of Star Trek.
The next generation is going to be an improvement, just like my kids are going to be a heck of a lot better than I ever was, you know, thankfully. But, who knows what we're going to be talking about on a Monday? Star Trek. Have you ever been to a convention?
No.
Okay.
No.
You're not that nerdy? Just a little nerdy?
No, I'm not quite that into it. Shatner in one of those SNL skits where he was at a convention, he's like, you people need to get a life.
Oh, man. There's some pretty funny stuff on X, by the way. Steve Byrne said this. John, you probably saw it. The rumor is that President Trump is building a golf course in Iran. He's already got the first three holes. So,
Tower and Casino in Tehran is going to be a beautiful thing. It's going to be beautiful.
That actually
it's
could be. It's there. A mountainous region. It'll be a mountain resort. Speaking of mountain resorts, I will be live from Big Sky tomorrow. John Jackson's going to be holding down the fort in the studio for us, and then I'll pop in as well.
It's June 23rd, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. Today's National Pink Day, celebrating the meaning, history, and beauty of the pale shade of red. Elle Woods said it best in the movie Legally Blonde in 2001.
Whoever said orange is the new pink is seriously disturbed.
In 1997, Aerosmith releases a song about the color. The song reaching number 27 on the Billboard Hot 100. We can't leave out Pink, the singer, songwriter. It went to number one on the Billboard 100. Enough about everything Pink. John Gotti, the Teflon Don, sentenced to life in prison in 1992. The mob boss had been found guilty of murder and racketeering. And in 1989,
I'm Batman.
Tim Burton's Batman, starring Michael Keaton and Jack Nicholson as the Joker, is released. I'm CJ Papa, and that's your Fox Daily Snapshot.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Well, it wasn't just the big news of the successful strikes on these Iranian nuclear sites from Saturday night. From a Montana standpoint, the big news started breaking really Friday afternoon. Attorney General Austin Knutson announced that his office is launching an investigation into this Lee newspaper's cyber data breach. John, you're like you're rubbing your hands together. You seem really excited about that investigation into the Lee newspapers.
Hold on a minute, Aaron. I need a minute here. I got to fan myself here. What is that? Oh, man. I saw your...
Let me turn on the AC a little more here. Hold on.
I mean, you just, you know, don't tease me with this stuff, please. Austin Knutson, if you're listening here, don't tease me with this. Please go forward with this and do every... I've told you for how many years, Aaron, I want to see every one of these people enrolling in Barber College. That is my goal, to outlive them all, to see them all out here enrolling in Barber College, serving me a drink at a bar, something. I want them gone.
So the Lee newspapers, that's the Montana Standard in Butte, the Missoulian, the Helena IR, the Billings Gazette, and, you know, they've got some good reporters, some great photographers, but by and large, they've just been a liberal propaganda network, nonstop. But they had this massive cyber data breach, and they even lost Social Security numbers. So I'm assuming that's just employees. I hope they don't have their subscribers' Social Security numbers. But, so the AG launched an investigation there. And then we had the governor's big vetoes. The governor broke out the veto pen and line-item vetoed hundreds of millions of dollars in that spending that came out of these big spending bills out of the legislative session. So I'll talk a little bit more about that here, of course, here later this morning. But, initial reactions from you.
Yeah, I wish the President of the United States had that line-item veto. It would make things so much better. And everybody's just breathing this big sigh of relief that Governor Gianforte did that. That's what we were waiting on. We were hoping we were not going to see this massive increase in spending for the Montana budget, 18% that they passed out of the legislature. Just terrible.
Yeah, I did get reaction from Senate President Matt Regeer right after I saw the governor's veto letter. I gave it a quick read, spotted that it looks like hundreds of millions of dollars line item vetoed out of some of these spending bills. What I felt was a positive reaction from Senate President Matt Regeer, who has been on the other side of these handful of Republicans who teamed up with the Democrats to undermine their caucus and pass all the spending. Regeer was there fighting all those spending increases. So sounds like he was pleased to see, the governor break out the veto pen. Likewise, I got response from Representative Lou Jones, one of the moderate Republicans out of Conrad, Montana, as well. So we'll talk about that more. First, though, let's get into the phone lines here. We've got Pam Purinton on the line out of Billings. She is the chair of the Yellowstone County Republicans. On Friday, we were talking about the sad news, the tragic loss of Yellowstone County Commissioner John Ostlund. And as much as you hate to talk about the what next so early after such a tragic loss, they've got to find a replacement commissioner. Pam, what do you want to tell our listeners about the process that's now underway?
Thank you, Aaron. Good morning to you, the Joker. So the Central Committee is tasked with putting forth three candidates for County Commissioner District 1. The process is that I've appointed a selection committee who will conduct surveys on interviews on July the 9th, which is Wednesday, probably be at 6 o'clock in the evening at the commissioner's boardroom. Those applications, our secretary will have those up probably by 9 o'clock on our website, yellowstonegop.org, and that's what we need. People have called me and said, oh, I want to nominate so-and-so, and it's not a nomination. It's self-nomination, because you want to know that those people are interested in being District 1 commissioner. So I just wanted to clarify that. They don't need to call the commissioner's office. They can either get a hold of me, my phone number's on the website, or email me. But the application for the interview is on our website. That is that's the premier thing that needs to be done. So if there's any questions, again, they can call or email me, and I'm happy to visit with them. And so that's really about it.
Yeah, and yellowstonegop.org is the website. I got a message from you, right? That's the correct one?
Yes, sir.
Okay, perfect. All right. Yeah, thanks for that. And, such a tough loss. Just an outpouring of positive messages and just a sadness after the loss of Commissioner Osland. And so, I know it's a tough time to have to go through that process. But, similar to when there's a legislative opening. Pam, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. John, similar to when there's an opening in the state legislature, when a lawmaker resigns, you know, and in this case, John Austin, of course, a Republican, so now the Republican Central Committee has to put together three names that they will recommend to the commissioners, and then the commissioners will decide who their new colleague will be. I understand three names have come in already. There was a John Jackson. There was a Jackson, John. There was a John the Joker Jackson. So those are three names that I've heard already that have been submitted for to be considered.
If I was going to be in for that, I would have to first, arm wrestle my boy Charlie Leverage. So I would say right away there's only one name, and that would be Charlie Leverage for that spot. Absolutely.
He's a great guy, and of course very close friend of the late Commissioner John Austin. That's the only name I've heard or really talked about so far, so very interesting. Well, John, let's see, we got to hit the break here. Phone lines are open for you as well, 406-294-0970. Where do you want to start after this? We got to go back to this Iran nuke site story, but where do you want to start on that front?
Operation Midnight Hammer, baby. I know that makes Paul Pelosi nervous. It makes Pelosi nervous, but we got
to
talk about it.
You beat me to the Paul Pelosi punch on that one. Did that white liberal guy from San Francisco get dropped into Tehran in his tidy whities over the weekend? What happened?
The pay was it.
All right, back right after this.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Are governments getting smarter about the economy? Take the issue of price controls for energy. Some of us are old enough to remember the 70s, when price controls were just one of many, many bad economic policies we pursued. There were controls on gasoline prices even before the Arab oil embargo pushed oil prices up by a factor of 5. Remember lines of cars trying to buy gas? It was an ugly situation, and it might have happened again in Germany just a few years ago when the Russians cut off deliveries of natural gas in protest of German sanctions caused by the Ukrainian war. With winter done just ahead, many predicted shortages and a deep recession. Instead, the government let prices alone, although they did give generous lump sum payments to households to help compensate for the impact on their budgets. And at the same time, they plunged full speed into fast-tracking liquefied natural gas terminal construction and increased their capacity to import from elsewhere. Those policies, plus a little luck from the form of a milder winter, helped Germany survive. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
The week ahead.
Monday, prices of consumer appliances are expected to go up, with steel tariffs now being applied to refrigerators, dishwashers, ovens, washing machines, and more. Tuesday, the various heads of state of the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, or NATO, are gathering in Netherlands for their annual summit. Key topics on the agenda include the alliance's defense, spending, and the ongoing war in Ukraine. Wednesday, New Jersey Congresswoman LaMonica McIver has a preliminary hearing connected to her arrest at an ICE facility in Newark last month. This comes after a grand jury earlier this month charged her with 3 counts of forcibly impeding and interfering with federal officers. If convicted, she faces up to 17 years in prison. Also, the NBA draft gets underway in Brooklyn, with the Dallas Mavericks making the first overall pick. Friday, it's the last chance to play Red Light, Green Light. The final season of Squid Game begins streaming on Netflix. And that's a look at your week ahead. I'm Anna Eliopoulos, Fox News.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, real quick here before we jump back into it with John Jackson, the Joker from X. So you guys have been hearing us talk about this. Has been a ton of fun. We've been promoting this Montana Tourism Visit Montana radio giveaway. And at the end of the week, you get the opportunity to win a shot at winning an incredible tourism package right here in your own backyard. You know, you see all these people from all these other states. Let me bring in John on this one first. I'm driving across the state, and these guys with these Washington plates, do you guys not know how to drive? Except for the guy with the camper and the Master Chief license plates. That's a good guy from Washington State. I saw that. He's probably some Submariner guy. But a lot of these Washington State plates, I'm like, why are you driving 15 miles below the speed limit and not pulling over? And then nobody's passing him. And I'm like, you have a clear shot to pass this guy. You're not passing him. The rest of us can't pass if you don't pass first. So finally, I'm just like, okay, real Montana coming through. Excuse me, real Montana coming through. And it's like, my goodness. Anyway, rant over.
Oh, dude. Now, of course, that's assuming you're on the one-lane road, not an interstate, right? Well,
sometimes even on the interstate.
I mean, that triggers me so bad. I'm like, okay, you know, you're back there like sixth car back behind somebody like this, and the people in front of you won't pass Okay, people, we're going to do this the hard way then. I'm going to take you people one at a time until I get up there, and then I'm going to pass that guy if y'all are not going to do it.
Yeah, and it just creates more congestion, and it creates a more dangerous driving situation. And it's just like, hey, look, if you're looking in front of you and there's nobody in front of you, and you're looking in your rearview mirror and there's like seven or eight cars behind you,
pull over.
You're going to see a blue sign that says scenic pullout ahead. Pull out at the scenic pullout. You're obviously in no hurry, so why don't you pull over and say, hey, there's some interesting Montana history here.
While we're on that subject, I want to make a public service announcement.
Hey, there we go. PSA.
Here we go. PSA for everybody, okay? You guys all know, and I'm telling you this as a retired law enforcement officer. When you see that posted speed limit, okay, say it says 35. Guys, public service announcement. That means go 40. That means go between 40 and 43 miles an hour. That's what that means, okay? If you're out there going 32, you're wrong. Get off the road.
I'm not going to knock somebody for driving slower. Do what you feel is safe, right? But here's the deal. I mentioned this. I had the Highway Patrol on, a great sergeant from the Highway Patrol on the program with me last week. And I saw it again last week. You see these people all the time. They will drive 30 and a 35.
Oh.
And it's like, okay, you do your thing. I mean, there's like 20 other people behind you trying to get down this one-lane road. But you know, you do your thing. But then I told my kid, I said, you watch. He said, you watch. This guy who is going 5 miles below the speed limit right now, that light ahead of us is gonna turn yellow and it's going to turn red. This guy is going to speed up and run a red light. Nobody else will get through the green because he was going below the speed limit for the last 75 blocks. But you watch this guy put somebody's life at risk by running a red light. And that's exactly what happened in front of me. Some of these people don't drive slow because they're driving slave. They're driving slow because they don't care about anybody else but themselves.
Exactly.
Which is why they will run a red light and risk other lives so they can get through the light, but nobody else can.
See that little rectangular piece of glass that's up in the middle of your windshield? It's called a rear view mirror. Look in that thing every once in a while. But do us all a favor. You say you're talking to a trooper. Get any trooper out there. Have them call in. They will tell you who causes the most wrecks out there is slow drivers, because everybody gets up behind them, and then you have all those chances of those rear end collisions.
Oh, man. Yeah, we were driving too. And, man, in the Bozeman area, you know, it gets really congested on the weekends now too, and then they slowed down the speed limit to like 65, so you got more congestion. More congestion means what? More problems.
Mm-hmm.
No joke. I was like, I thought I was going to have to get all Days of Thunder, get a little crazy, because I'm watching what's going on. I got an 18-wheeler in front of me, and then I got a guy from out of state pulling a camper. And all of a sudden, the guy from out of state pulling the camper, he was like 2 inches from Ricky Bobby rubbing his race and rubbing that 18-wheeler. And I was like, okay, here we go. I'm going to have... Now, luckily, the guy woke up and then quickly got back over. But I was just like, man, here we go. Here we go.
Yeah, rubbing his racing.
Yeah. Anyway, that whole rant was inspired by this. You get a chance to win a great Montana getaway to one of my favorite parts of the state, of course, Missouri River Country. How many of you have never gotten to enjoy Eugene's Pizza? Well, here's what you've got. You know, what we're doing is we're sharing some, you know, some fun facts about Missouri River Country. One of my favorite fun facts. Fort Peck is the largest hydraulic earth-filled dam in the United States. It took 7 years to build, starting in 1933, creating the fifth largest reservoir in the country. 1,520 miles of shoreline, more than the coast of California. But you can win a incredible getaway package to either Glasgow or Jordan. Get out there by the lake, etc. And so, anyway, ton of fun. Here's what you do. You go to visitmt.com/giveaway. Visitmt.com/giveaway. Okay, now, John, what did you want to talk about again? Now I totally forgot what you wanted to talk about.
And where the hell was I? You know, the naked gun.
No. And where the hell is Roscoe?
to push back on that slightly, I wanted to say on behalf of John Jackson that, you know, for all the people listening that are out of state, Montana's terrible. It just snowed here the other day. We got grizzlies right on the edge of town. Trust us, you don't want to come here. I mean, you know, it's really just too dangerous for flatlanders
just
to be here.
Just take those Washington State plates and keep on rolling.
Keep on. You can go to Wyoming. Go down to Wyoming. Get, you know, go to the park and, you know, do it. But they really
Mississippi moon, won't you keep on shining on me? Keep on rolling.
Huh? Drive through the interstate, but just keep on driving.
Exactly. I probably butchered the lyrics on that Doobie Brothers song, but I never know what they're saying in these songs anyway. So back to the successful Iranian nuclear strikes. Yeah, man, at least I had, you know, incredible news to listen to over the weekend. I mean, General Raisin Kane and SecDef Pete Hegseth, that press conference and the speech they did yesterday morning was just incredibly powerful as he was just describing the deception operation as with the B-2 bombers and everything. What stood out to you following the big news over the weekend?
That is exactly the biggest thing that stood out to me. And you saw, if you saw as it was being reported, as it was breaking, our girl dances with Deep State there, Jennifer Griffin.
She had a good report.
Fox News. She was completely flummoxed by this whole thing because she is the Pentagon reporter for Fox News, and she didn't get a word of it. So that, they bring her on to, like, report the breaking news, but she doesn't really know any of it. She's just kind of putting it together the same way everybody else is. She's got her phone ringing, like, while she's live on the air. And see, you know what Pete Hegseth did to him here about a month ago? It used to be, it's always been, these reporters have full reign of the Pentagon. They get to walk all over there, you know, free-range cattle all over the Pentagon. Well, he cut that off. They have to get appointments, and they can only go to the office they get an appointment for. He cut them down.
Makes sense. Oh, yeah. I mean, you don't want – and that's the thing. There were no leaks. I mean, this whole operation, no leaks. In fact, here's Lucas Tomlinson with Fox News Radio, who did a great summary of the Iranian nuclear site strikes over the weekend.
It was 9 B-2 stealth bombers that launched from Whiteman Air Force Base, Missouri, just after midnight early Saturday. 2 flew west over the Pacific to act as decoys, but 7 peeled off and quietly flew east not long after liftoff, not squawking and with minimal communication. Their destination, Iran's underground nuclear facilities. The B-2s entered Iranian airspace at 6 p.m. Eastern. 40 minutes later, those B-2s dropped their 14 massive bunker-busting bombs. 12 hit the underground nuclear site in Fordo, 2 hit Natanz. And at the same time those bombs hit the nuke sites, 30 Tomahawk cruise missiles launched from a guided missile submarine slammed into the nuclear site in Isfahan, the third target.
John, my favorite photo, John, from inside the Situation Room was General Raisin Kane, and he looked like he was at, like, a rock concert. He had, you know, his fingers pointed down. You know what I'm talking about? Did you see that photo?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and he's, like, pointing down, looking at something, showing him something. And you could tell, like, this guy rose up from the tactical level.
Well, there's a lot of misreporting on that, that when he was given that he was put, doing the horns down at that. What that was is he just had seen that Dances with Deep State Jennifer Griffin was breaking the news, so he was Tatanka. Tatanka has the news.
Tatanka. As he strikes, by the way.
So everybody knows, your audience out there, if you see her on Fox News, she is a spy. Okay. Her husband, number one, she's a Democrat. Number two, her husband is bestest buddies with guess who? Mark Milley, who is under investigation right now by the DOD. And I guarantee you, if they really tried, they could blow back that they could take that investigation onto her hubs. I mean, she is not so anybody you want floating around that Pentagon.
Man, I did see some friends, let's just say some fellow veteran friends, that were putting the contrast photos out there of Milley versus Kane. And America First versus America getting stabbed in the back, which is exactly what that's why everybody is, President Trump did what he had to do. He did what a commander in chief and a president of the United States should have done. It was his moment in history. It was the moment where, a suicidal enemy of the United States was going to get their hands on a nuclear weapon. But it does raise concerns over additional terror attacks in the United States. But we were already concerned about that. I mean, Biden's FBI director talked about blinking lights being everywhere because of all the security threats allowed into this country by the Joe Biden, John Tester regime. Allowed into this country, I mean, even call out Mark Milley by General Milley. I mean, who stood there. I mean, these flag officers who stood there and allowed this to happen to our country and just withered away or went along with it. But yet, man, if Donald Trump got a Diet Coke out of the Pentagon cafeteria, they threw a hissy fit.
The nerve of these people out there, like you just hit it over the weekend, talking about, oh, my God, now all these sleeper cells are going to get activated. We're going to have attacks here in the United States because you let them in here.
Yeah.
You are the people that let them in here the whole time we were screaming about it. You applauded it.
1,504 Iranians illegally crossing the border from FY 2021 to 2024. And that's just the ones they know about.
Oh, yeah.
How many gotaways?
10 times.
How many gotaways? Yeah. All right. Hold that thought.
Hey, everyone.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, back to it with John Jackson, the Joker from X. John and I, okay, totally different topic altogether. John and I were laughing during the break because totally different topic. What were we even going to talk about after the break? Oh, yeah, we're going to get to John Yoo, the UC Berkeley professor, talking about the constitutionality of President Trump's actions over the weekend. John, you've got some breaking news, it sounds like, coming from Israel concerning Tehran. But this was kind of funny. So they had their... with little fanfare, they had their pride, festivals, whatever, in downtown.
Festivals.
I was trying to think of Festivus or whatever, pagan celebration, whatever you want to call it, in downtown Billings. And so, but I was joking with somebody because I was like, I wonder if somebody will show up with their Rick Grinnell sign that says, "Normal gays vote for Trump." Did you see Rick Grinnell, who is still in the Trump administration? He was Trump's NATO or UN ambassador. I can't remember. He was a Germany ambassador. But he was on videos, just basically saying just how absurd all this, transgender stuff is and these pride march things are. Because they get really offensive in front of kids, but he said normal gays vote for Trump, and so that was, and then even Jillian Michaels, who apparently is part of that community, she also was like criticizing just how over the top all this stuff is. So anyway, that was a funny sidebar. All right, back to the big important news of the day here. First, what's the breaking news? You saw this from Zero Hedge on X.
Yeah, just now breaking on Zero Hedge. The headline, Israeli military issues evacuation order to the residents of Tehran. It's going to get ready to get real. Looks like they're going to be hitting a lot of targets in there. And that's also, I also understand, it probably in warfare, they are trying to stampede the herd here. They want, because how do you get regime change? You've got to stampede the herd. You've got to let them know that the government that was here is gone. You don't have to be afraid of them anymore.
Well, also, I think that's important. First off, it's really interesting. So we played the audio describing this incredibly successful operation and how our B-2 bombers went in and without detection, apparently, from the Iranian regime. But then on top of that, I talked with Mike Waters earlier. He's a Yellowstone County commissioner. He's also a former bomber pilot, retired Air Force lieutenant colonel. So it was great getting his insight on all this. But it's also amazing that they got in and they got out without apparently a shot being fired against them, as far as we know, based on, unless anybody's heard a different report up to this point. And so that's remarkable. But then everybody wants to know, well, what's the BDA? You would have heard that term in Afghanistan. I heard the term in Iraq and Afghanistan. The battle damage assessment, meaning, okay, you took out the enemy target or you fired upon an enemy target. What's the BDA? What happened as a result? So everybody wants to know, well, what's the BDA on this successful operation? And they're saying on Fox earlier this morning that, well, the Israelis are on the ground and they're verifying this and they're verifying that. Isn't that just insane that the Israelis are on the ground in Iran and maybe even nearby these nuclear facilities so that they can get, like literally firsthand accounts of the BDA?
They have taken years, Israeli have, to completely penetrate Iranian society undercover. And so they had, before they even launched from Israel, they had their guys on the ground take out all of these different targets, but basically took out all of the Iranian air defense systems and other major targets. So then when they came in 2 days, they had crippled the Iranian military response. So that's when President Trump came out and said, we own the skies over there.
Yeah, I think they took out, and that's why major credit to the Israelis for severely degrading Iran's air defenses. I think I heard 75%, at least in one of the categories. And so that also significantly aided this effort, which was, again, the time to strike. But that's also why I think why President Trump, you know, didn't make the move maybe 2 weeks ago or earlier than that, is this gave time to, A, pull some of the Americans, certainly their family members, out of some of those key Middle East hotspots that are within weapons range of Iran. And B, it gave Israel the time to go in and degrade their air defenses and their missile defenses and so much more to allow for a successful operation. And then now the follow on, the what's next is, okay, if this terrorist regime is able to fight back and they do decide to step it up, well, if they're getting their butts handed to them in their own backyard by the Israelis in Tehran, that's going to take away, that's going to, you know, distract them from any intentions elsewhere in the world.
This is a perfect strategy right here, what the Israeli military is doing. And what they need to do with their people on the ground, the idea would be to identify targets and buildings that are already pretty much empty or they are full of combatants, not any kind of civilians. Just start pounding those things all over the city, and that's going to stampede the herd for everybody to leave the city, and then everybody will realize there is no more Islamic government here. We can rise up against them.
So looks like we got a great caller on the phone lines. So a quick note about our phone lines. So we've got an old phone system here that's been our primary weapon system in talk radio, right? We've got a newer phone system over here. Old phone system apparently decided to pew just a little bit earlier.
Poop the bed.
Yep. That's the John Jackson translation. And then, but the new system, they were already testing this, trying to get ready and up and running. I think we've got a caller on the phone lines from Billings. But, Bob, what I'm going to have you do, hold with us for like another 5 minutes or so, because I want to test this during the break, because I just want to make sure that we're able to get your call on the show and that it's heard and everything first. So I don't want to test it live over the air. I'm no bomber pilot, but I want to at least do a little bit of a test.
Let's do it live.
A little bit of a test run. Democrats like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez are already calling for Trump's impeachment over this. you know, the squad members, I mean, man, their buddies in Iran just got, you know, severely embarrassed over the weekend. So AOC is calling for the impeachment of Donald J. Trump over this. What an embarrassment for the Democrat Party. Now, most, even a lot of Democrats, though, on X, even some Kamala supporters are saying, hey, President Trump made the call that needed to be made. And so, but yeah, AOC thinks Trump should be impeached over this. But even Thomas Massie, the Republican out of Kentucky, is getting hammered by Trump right now.
Oh, yeah. Massie finally stepped over the line. And you've seen Trump have incredible patience with these rhinos and these people in our party that won't just come along and get with the team, right? But this did it for him. And now he came out with a huge post over the weekend. He is saying flat out, not only are we going to primary Tom Massie there in Kentucky, we're going to fund it. I'm going to be there campaigning on behalf of his primary opponent. I mean, I think Massey's in a lot of trouble here.
So John Yoo, he was on with Mark Levin over the weekend. He's a UC Berkeley law professor, but he's actually good, even though he's from UC Berkeley, of all places. Remarkably smart constitutional law professor. He was talking with Mark Levin about why the president has the constitutional authority to launch these strikes over the weekend. And he's addressing the critics who, you know, even maybe one or two Republicans who are saying, oh, only Congress can declare war and the president can't do these strikes to protect the American people. Well, John Yoo says no, he was well within constitutional authority here. And then he goes into the background. When our founding fathers were drafting the United States Constitution and specifically why they knew a commander-in-chief needs to be able to make decisions just like the one President Trump just made.
When the Constitution was first introduced in the Philadelphia Convention, the Constitution originally had said Congress has the power to make war. And that was changed to declare war because people thought that gave Congress too much authority. And I even point you to something else Madison said. In the Virginia Ratifying Convention, which was the key convention to approve the Constitution, Patrick Henry actually got up and said, he might have been the Bernie Sanders or AOC of his day. And he said, I'm worried about the president going off on military ventures. How are you going to stop him? James Madison doesn't get up and say the declare war clause will stop the president. Instead, he says Congress will have to cut off funds because the power of the purse is the ultimate check of the people on the executive branch.
All right. He also went into the background of the authorization for use of military force, et cetera. But, John, your thoughts on what, John had to say there.
My thoughts is, remember one thing, the Democrats do not care what the law is or what precedent is or any of that. If Donald Trump did it, it's wrong. Okay, like Kat Turner had a tweet out this morning. He said, remember when Obama dropped over 26,000 bombs on 7 different countries in his last year of office, and not one Democrat complained about it? Donald Trump could be out here and find a cure for cancer, and they would accuse him, he's personally profiting off this. This is wrong. Impeach him. You know, I don't listen to a word these clowns say.
Oh, man, I'll tell you what, I'm going to save this one for the 9 o'clock hour of this show, but how many of you ever watched the Monty Python and the Holy Grail? Did any of you ever watch that movie? I got a great email from Pat in Big Timber. I'm going to save that one for the 9 o'clock hour of the show. Plus, Marco Rubio lays it down with the fake news media. I think it was CBS this time. I saw John tweeting about that one. So as you can see, lots to talk about. We'll test our phone lines right now with Bob and Billings and then get back to you.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
We are told that there are known terrorists in the country. Oh, Hannity, if we get involved militarily, what happens if they're already going to attack us? If they are here, they're plotting, they're planning, they're scheming an attack on our homeland. And you can thank Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, Alejandro Mayorkas, and everybody in the complicit state-run legacy media mob that echoed either the lie, which is the border's secure and the border's closed, or they just turned a blind eye to the danger that was associated with Joe and Kamala's open borders, anywhere between 12 and 20 million unvetted people in this country, among them known terrorists and gang members, cartel members, murderers, rapists, other violent criminals, and drug dealers.
Check out the Sean Hannity radio show later today, right here.
Hey, did you hear that Florida just legalized gold and silver? Yep, my new home state, the free state of Florida, has made it legal to use gold and silver as money. Now, Governor DeSantis explained it all by saying, this is our ability to give you the financial freedom to be able to protect yourself against the declining value of the dollar. This is exactly why I partnered with a top precious metals company myself. If you want to learn more about how gold and silver can help protect your money, if you want to inform yourself, do your due diligence, reach out to my partners at GoldCo. They're a great company. I'm a customer. They've helped me out tremendously. Check them out on the web, HannityGold.com, or call, no obligation, 855-815-GOLD. Get their free 2025 gold and silver kit. You'll also learn about their unlimited bonus silver offer. That's 855-815-GOLD or HannityGold.com. That's HannityGold.com.
This is Poll Parade with Fox News Director of Polling, Dana Blandon.
Americans generally think immigration is a good thing. 70% in our Fox News survey say legal immigrants who come to the U.S. help the country. On immigrants living here illegally, nearly 60% favor deporting them. At the same time, by a 32-point margin, voters think the Trump administration's enforcement of immigration laws has gone too far. Most Democrats and more than half of independents feel that way, and 21% of Republicans agree. They might be thinking about President Trump sending the National Guard and U.S. troops to Los Angeles in response to protests of ICE raids on illegal immigrants. More think that made things worse by about 20 points. Even so, voters narrowly think local governments should cooperate with ICE in enforcing federal immigration laws, then support giving local governments full control. And on the key question of whether Trump's immigration policies are making the country safer, an equal number say yes as say no. I'm Dana Blanton, and that's your poll per.
From Mondakistan to the Flathead, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, yeah, to Bob in Billings, I really wanted to take your phone call, but the new phone system isn't communicating to my board here. We just tested it with our engineers, so send us a message on the Montana Talks app because definitely want to hear what you have to say. Thankfully, we got John Jackson, the Joker, in the house here, so, yeah, we'll get the phones all figured out, if not before the end of the show this morning. We'll get them back up and running tomorrow. We've been working on getting some new software going anyway, so hopefully this puts more wind in the sails behind that one there. but speaking of new equipment, I mean, you know, I'm sure the Ayatollah is like, where's my new equipment? Where's my new this? Sir, it's all gone. It's all gone. But we had a great message. John, this came from Jeff in Victor earlier this morning. He raises a really good point here. He says, I haven't heard anyone. So everybody has said that Iran should not be allowed to get a nuclear weapon. Practically everybody has said that, right? It's just that Donald J. Trump's just the first one to actually put his money where his mouth is and make sure they don't get a nuclear weapon, right? But anyway, he says, you know, to this point that everybody's talked about why Iran shouldn't get a nuclear weapon. But his point is, I haven't heard anyone state a good reason why Iran needs nuclear capabilities. I mean, just even nuclear energy. Why do they, you know, they'll claim, oh, it's just peaceful. No weapons here, just peaceful. But why do you need nuclear energy? They have all the petroleum energy they need. Why do they need nuclear energy? Yeah, I mean, it's a great point. It just calls out the BS of all this.
It's one of those open secrets. Like, everybody knows that the Democrats cheat these elections, right? Everybody knew what was going on in COVID. Everybody knew that Joe Biden was a bumbling old nursing home patient that had no business being in that White House, right? And it's what everybody knows, what they were doing with their nuclear capabilities over there. Of course, that's what they were doing. What you had here, Aaron, was the perfect storm. The perfect storm come together with President Trump in the White House and with Bibi Netanyahu as the Prime Minister of Israel. And finally, those two countries with those two men leading decided enough was enough.
It's a Churchill-like era of leadership, a Margaret Thatcher, Ronald Reagan type era of leadership, a Truman type of a moment, you name it. Owen in Bozeman, thanks for the reminder. Owen in Bozeman sent me a message on the Montana Talks app, and I did see that the Gallatin County Republicans have put out an action alert on this front as well. So, you know, first Missoula had the raised the rainbow flag, and then Butte raised the rainbow flag. I think that's going to tick off a lot of people in Butte. I think some of those old school Irish Catholic Democrat Union members in Butte, that rainbow flag raising could tick them off enough to where they finally bail on the Democrat Party. I think that's going to be an outcome there. But now, of course, Bozeman City Commission has to do the same thing. The Bozeman City Commission is meeting tomorrow, taking public comment concerning the LGB pride flag being raised in front of local government buildings. That's from Owen and Bozeman.
I really hope, you know, I take the other tack on this, Aaron. I hope they do. I really hope they do all of this. And that was one of the referendums that got decided back in the November election. People, in their issues out there, it was the border and economy and also this cultural stuff, this LGBTQ culture stuff. They are absolutely sick of it. People have put up with this crap for 20 years, and they are just sick of it. So I hope these people did not get the message. I want them to keep on doing this stuff.
Raise your flag.
Yes, indeed.
Raise that flag. That's, again, and that's why I say that's my reaction to Butte. Butte is one of the most conservative towns in Montana. It's just they keep voting for Democrats because that's what they've always done. Donald Trump did better in Butte Silver Bow than any Republican presidential candidate since Eisenhower in the 1950s. And it's for every reason John just said. And it's also because of this woke garbage that they keep trying to shove down everybody's throats. So you know what, Butte Democrats? Raise that flag. And you watch as they start to abandon your party in even bigger numbers, even in places like, or especially in places like Butte, America. That's my take.
Oh, heck yeah. Keep shoving it in their faces. You know, onward, onward, onward.
Keep on with the arrogance. Keep being arrogant. All right, John's going to stick around for the 9 o'clock hour, too.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Our government's getting smarter about the economy. Take the issue of price controls for energy. Some of us are old enough to remember the 70s when price controls were just one of many, many bad economic policies we pursued. There were controls on gasoline prices even before the Arab oil embargo pushed oil prices up by a factor of 5. Remember lines of cars trying to buy gas? It was an ugly situation. It might have happened again in Germany just a few years ago when the Russians cut off deliveries of natural gas in protest of German sanctions caused by the Ukrainian war. With winter done just ahead, many predicted shortages and a deep recession. Instead, the government let prices alone, although they did give generous lump sum payments to households to help compensate for the impact on their budgets. And at the same time, they plunged full speed into fast-tracking liquefied natural gas terminal construction and increased their capacity to import from elsewhere. Those policies, plus a little luck from the form of a milder winter, helped Germany survive. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.